Did you know there are many things 80s kids could do that today's kids can't?
Oh, man. The YouTube video keeps going. No, I'm sorry. It changed. Hello. Welcome to Will Sam and Sam in the Morning. I had to do a Let's Go Pens chant, and then it, for some reason, then transitioned to 25 things 80s kids could do today that kids can't today.
Write in cursive.
I mean, yeah, probably. I mean, that would that
can
be
you guys write in cursive?
I mean, my name in cursive. I could do Sam Anthony.
It's a lot slower than it used to be, but yeah, I could. Because I mean, we had to write those
for the SATs.
For the SATs, you
yeah,
had to write those.
That was
statements.
A load of gibberish for me. I was like, I think these are the right letters. Ooh. Oh man, I'm getting over the sickness. Welcome everyone to Will Sam and Sam in the Morning. I'm Sam Anthony. Alongside me is Samuel Elizabeth Ferentz.
Hello.
And William Robert Camilleri.
Good morning.
And, you know, we open with Let's Go Pens because Will was texting me last night, very bitter, about the Pittsburgh Penguins-Philadelphia Flyers
game. Flyers were the better team in that game. And if you can't admit that, then you're just not a good sports fan.
I don't know, man. 4-1?
The score doesn't tell the whole game. They had a goal disallowed because the refs are idiots.
Okay.
They had 51 shots on goal.
Okay.
They had 28 in the second period, the most in franchise history, and the Penguins had faced. The other one was like in the 90s.
I mean, those
are
all great numbers, but yes. The only number that matters is goals.
Can't you say that the Penguins goalie was
pretty
good?
I don't understand what happened because Matt Murray in the previous, he had allowed 4 goals in the previous 14 shots and somehow allows one on 51.
Well, I mean, Matt Murray
isn't
a good goalie.
He's
not
an average
a consistent goalie.
He is an average
but he has,
goalie.
Well, okay.
I think he's disappointed since they made the decision to keep him and not Fleury.
He's average 95% of the time, and 5% of the time he's a very good goalie.
I would give him more than 5%.
I would.
That's just me. But you're also a Flyers fan.
Two
so
playoff
biased.
Runs and one game.
Well, I think
I mean that's more than a lot of goalies.
I mean, that's true. That's why I'm giving him 5%.
I mean, that. So you're saying that he's an average goalie who you know how small of a percentage 5% is?
Yes, it's 5%.
Could you say that goalies and the goalie position in hockey is one of the ones with the most parity in it? I mean, like.
No, I would say, honestly, that goalie is probably the hardest position to come by in hockey. I think it's similar to quarterback in football where you have very few exceptional goalies. And that's where, you know, Will has some truth with he's good 5% of the time because of the fact that, you know, again, for the most of the regular season, Matt Murray plays like most goalies in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, again, I would say that, again, there are plenty of other things that go into the 51 shots on goal. 51 shots on goal is a great number.
They were just not – they weren't getting – it wasn't that they were, like, oh, they were just shooting it from – you know, from the
blue line.
Right, and it just so happened to hit them, and that counts as a shot on goal. They were creating chances just for whatever reason. The pucks weren't going in.
But, I mean, that'll also happen in hockey.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. It just so happened that it was against the Penguins, which is the most frustrating thing to happen.
I have two more points to add. One, what do you guys think then about, like, I don't know if they still do this because I remember reading a story a long, long time ago about a guy. Teams have emergency backup goalies. Like a fourth goal.
Yeah, like an accountant in the stands. Yeah,
right.
Play
there was one.
Hockey.
And, well, I remember one time the Flyers had a former club goalie from Temple that came and played for a game.
Well, yeah, I remember like reading those stories where, you know, like one in a million, a guy will have to go out there and then he'll end up like winning the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it happened
for the, I think, Blackhawks last year.
Yeah, yeah. Or 2 years ago, something like that.
Yeah. And the thing with that is that – you know, again, these guys played before. Typically, if it does happen, it's happening pretty late in the game. The guy who ended up getting the win, it was last year, because remember we talked about it on this show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, didn't he faced only like 10 shots or something like that?
Yeah, he also had played against RMU as a goalie previously, so that's why he was notable here. But, yeah, he faced 9 shots. He saved all of them, and he ended up getting the win. You know, again, it's one of those things where – could it happen, you know, regularly? No, but that's kind of an exciting concept in hockey, isn't it? Like that'd be like the emergency backup quarterback, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Tim, who's in the stands, they're just like, get down here.
Which you could, you never know with the AAF, who knows?
Well,
maybe that could be a thing.
How about like those, those guys coming out of college, like you're really excited about to play, and then they end up a bust. You know, like is that kind of the same thing then if you're comparing it to football quarterbacks? Now, like who name someone who busted out of college when they were drafted?
You talking for hockey?
No, football.
For football,
yeah.
Trent Richardson.
Quarterbacks in the quarterbacks. Past like 5 years even.
Oh, 5 years. I mean, if you want to talk about like RG3.
Yeah,
you could also say Johnny Manziel, but that wasn't really because of his play.
Johnny Manziel, yeah, he kind of self-imploded himself. Yeah. I mean, you could talk about that Vince Young, Matt Leinart draft. I mean, there's a ton of quarterbacks that come in and end up not.
Yeah,
being
the
as
fact
good
that
as.
We can't name any doesn't mean that there weren't any. It just means we don't know them.
Well,
yeah.
You know, hold on.
Oh wait, I have one. Christian Hackenberg.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, nobody. You know, I don't know who thought he was gonna be good. Because, by the way, did you see that he also couldn't score in the AAF?
I saw the play where he, like, was down and then jumped for an additional 2 yards and was still, like, 5 yards away from a first down.
Yeah, no, they were all like, oh, yeah, this will be great. All right, I'm pulling up the 2013 draft so that we have.
While you're doing that, Will, just to go back to your previous point about, you know, how the Flyers, they played a great game. I didn't watch it, but I feel like there's that in a lot of sports, like, especially with us, we know Army football. I feel like there were a lot of times where we played a lot of great games. And
yeah, it just didn't go our way.
Things just didn't go our way.
I mean, I don't know how much I can say about that with football just in general, especially with the NFL because of how terrible the officiating has been. I don't know how many games would be changed if the right calls were made or wrong calls weren't called. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there were just so many refereeing decisions that affected the outcome of games that I couldn't say for sure.
I know it just
whether
comes,
one thing would
it comes down to the heat of the moment too. I mean, these refs have to make bang bang calls when like things are disallowed based off of video replay. That stinks. But then you have situations like I know in the Army women's basketball game last night, there was a 3-pointer that was kind of questionable at the buzzer. The refs got to the video review real quick, and then they were able to make a nice quick decision. That's what you like to see. But, yeah, go ahead about the draft, and the draft's coming up, so we're going to have to talk about that soon.
Yeah.
All right, so the one quarterback drafted in the first round in 2013 from the Buffalo Bills, E.J. Manuel.
Who?
Bust.
Okay, here's a question for you
awful,
guys.
Awful pick.
Where did he go to
you
school?
You know who was the best pick in that draft, by the way?
2013?
The fourth overall pick in the draft. Philadelphia
was
Eagles
Zach
taking
Ertz?
Lane Johnson.
Oh, Lane Johnson. That was the last Chip Kelly draft.
Because you know who got drafted in front of Lane Johnson?
Who?
Deion Jordan.
Oh, boy.
Irrelevant. Luke Jekyll. Irrelevant.
Oh,
Eric
wait.
Fisher,
isn't Luke
irrelevant.
Jekyll tackle?
Yeah.
You're saying Eric Fisher's irrelevant?
Yes, Eric Fisher's so irrelevant. Eric Fisher got cut.
I think Zach
tackle,
Ertz was in
tackle
that draft,
for the
too.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
No, he was. He
Eric Fisher's gone.
No, he must have just gotten cut after this season because he was playing in the playoffs.
No, he wasn't.
I think Sam, Anthony.
Yeah.
I think Zach Ertz was in that draft as well.
Was he? Wow.
Yeah, it was either Zach Ertz or Nelson Aguilar was drafted that same draft.
Wait, who am I? You know what? I must have mixed up Fisher and Jekyll. That's exactly what I did. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I'm wrong. That was my mistake. I'm sorry, Eric Fisher. He tweets about weather conditions, by the way, when you come
Ooh.
Up.
Luke Jekyll's – how do you spell that?
It is.
J-E-K-Y-L.
No, J-O-E-C-K-E-L.
Oh, we forgot about the biggest Alliance thing to happen over the weekend.
What, that giant hit?
That giant hit that was legal.
I love it.
That
love it so
honestly
much.
Was probably one of the best things that could have happened for the AAF this weekend.
I mean, first off, you saw how well it did, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it outdid the NBA that
which,
night.
Which is good for what it was.
Right.
You have to understand it's mid-season NBA.
That's
that
true.
The ratings aren't mad high anyway.
Right.
But
that, it was Thunder Rockets,
yes,
I believe.
Yes,
and, that
and that's
that
great
played.
And all. And it's still significant.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, what it to me shows more than anything is that people want more football.
Yes.
And what I loved about it was all the little things that they did that were right.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me so – like, again, like the replay stuff where they did the reaction live. I don't know why – because, like, you saw this lady on one of the replays. You know, initially she was like, oh, you know, he used the ground to catch the ball. you know, and you can see what she's talking about when he comes down. She's like, wait, wait. She's like, there was possession and then a knee down and then the ball comes out.
Was it? It was like fan reactions.
No,
no, the referees.
They when they review calls, they have the replay official up top. You can see he or she live and listen in.
Oh, that's oh, awesome! That's cool. I didn't watch all of the games because I don't have CBS Sports Network, so I couldn't see some of them. But
so think about this. You know, for people, for fans, and for commentators that sit there and imply all this stuff, you're seeing what they see and why they're calling it.
Right. You get the reasoning behind it.
Ends all debate and dispute possible. You know, and especially with, you know, the NFL, which had some really bad calls.
Really bad. Especially this year. Like, I feel like this year it was more than most years.
Yes. And that's the thing. So the AAF in one game was already like, NFL. You know what else I love about the American Alliance for Football?
What else do you like?
When you're down by 17,
mm-hmm.
all right, you get to take and you score, all right, and you're still down by 17. You mm-hmm. can do an onside conversion. So instead of an onside kick, you get the ball at your own 28, and you have to convert a 4th and 12. And if you convert it, you get the ball from wherever you converted to. But if you don't get it, they get the ball at like the 28 or wherever it stopped.
Huh.
Which is cool because, like, the odds of completing that are still greater than, like, an onside kick. And, like, you can do different things. Like, an onside kick, I feel like you're just like, all right, you're trying to hope you get lucky.
Yeah.
Whereas an onside conversion,
there's a right bounce
like,
or something.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I also love that there's no extra points, that everything has to be a two-point conversion.
Really? Yes. I didn't know that either. Yeah.
So, like, you're going to see these wonky scores. And so then, like, teams need to be able to run certain things. Like, you know, again, you're seeing more crazy things. Like, did you see that Orlando ran the Philly special?
Yeah, I did see that. And it worked.
Yeah. So, like, I just love the fact that, I mean, and what a smart move by the AAF, because you weren't going to, you know, have people care by seeing, oh, that was really good fundamental football. You know, like, you want to see exciting plays and big hits, and they understand that. And it's cool. So I really enjoyed that. I enjoy all the different rules.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's only three different rules from the NFL.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not as
it's not
the
like
Canadian
or arena football or anything like that. Like, there's a direct comparison.
Yeah, no, and that's, I mean, they wanted that because they want to partner with the NFL and basically be like, we're going to just be, you know,
your
we're going to keep
league.
People wanting more football, and we're also going to give players that, you know, again, like the Trent Richardsons that scored 2 touchdowns for the Birmingham Iron this weekend, you know, guys that were busts, and, you know, maybe seeing them come back and having, you know, because also the overall product of the NFL will be better because you got guys mm-hmm. that maybe just need more reps and more game time, and you're giving them that opportunity to do so.
Almost like a developmental league.
Exactly.
Whoa.
I wonder how, like, they're going to have to set the precedent on when they first sign an AAF player to a team, whoever signs them, how they're that'll be interesting to see, like, the contract terms, you know, what the AAF team gets if that person's still in contract.
Well, and I think it'll be interesting because it's not like other minor – it wouldn't be like other minor leagues where they're playing concurrently.
Yeah.
So it's after the season. So I think it would be – if they do become a partner with the NFL and it kind of works like that system where you can call guys up and you have an associated team or mm-hmm. whatever, how that would work with not actually playing at the same time, or whether they would move it or whatever, and they're just doing this after, so people are like,
I think the way that the NFL works, and because, like, again, like, you play so few games because of the wear and tear on your body mm-hmm. from just one game, I mean, I don't think you'll ever have it in the sense of, like, a call-up, call-down kind of mm-hmm. league. I think that's always been the inherent flaw and why you've never had a developmental league, because it's different than the NBA and the MLB,
right,
where you can have them almost going, you know, in conjunction and calling up and down. Mm-hmm. I think if anything, you know, it will serve as more of just a, you know, audition, you know, if sort of things where,
okay,
you know how, like, the NFL grabs teams from the CFL that are notable, but, like, it's hard because sometimes they can't make that transition back to the NFL.
Right. Because it's different.
I think
it's
providing a platform that has more similarity to the NFL, and you mm-hmm. have, you know, the style of the league in terms of the plays that are run and the people that are running it are similar to the NFL. And I, you know, the thing is that the league ends in April and mm-hmm. training camp then starts in August. So what that does is that sticks you right in the middle of free agency period. So what you're going to do is it's going to end, and then all the big names from this first year are probably going to get training camp invites.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, what that does is it gives the AAF relevance because you're going to see, oh, you know, you were a big San Diego Fleet fan. Well, hey, your favorite guy is now on the squad for the LA Chargers, you know. Mm-hmm. See how he does. He gets signed. You know, that's more plugging of the AAF throughout the year. You're seeing these guys come in. You're thinking about that.
Right, and then as if they get playing time, you have the commentators talking about, oh, how he was a AAF prospect.
Exactly.
And all stuff.
And referencing all that stuff because CBS and NFL want that to be plugged because, again, it's constantly having football remain in relevance.
So with kind of like the draft coming up, how, like, do you think there will be anybody that will – I mean, obviously there will be from, like, FCS and lower levels, but do you think there will be any kind of major players who maybe had, like, an injury history through college that would say, I'm going to prefer to go to the AAF than go to the NFL?
Yeah. I mean, you got to think about guys that don't get – I mean, you know, it's hard to say because, again, with the timing of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if anything, you know, it'd be interesting to see if – again, you know, let's say your college career ends in November. Your team doesn't make a bowl, but you're notable, or your team has a bowl in December. You sign immediately with an AAF team.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, because, like, let's say, like, you're, you know, out of school, like a Robert Morris, and you know you're not going to get drafted. So you choose to, instead of doing the combine and all the stuff that you weren't going to get invited to anyway, you go and you play a season in the, you know, AAF, and all of a sudden you have more notoriety than you did before. That's another way that you could add value to them as a prospect.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes it fun because, you know, again, it ends right around draft time.
Mm-hmm.
I think right after the draft, actually, because I think it ends like mid-April. I don't know when the heck the draft is this year. I should know.
17th or something.
Yeah.
6 out.
So they're going to end around the same time. And so what that does is, like, let's say, again, you're like an Eagles or a Steelers, and maybe you don't get a player in that position that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You go and you look at who was notable in the AAF,
right,
and you sign them.
Mm-hmm.
The draft is the 25th of April.
Yeah, so they're going to end around the same time. So, yeah, literally you could be like, hey, you know, we're looking – we have the 5th pick, and we're not going to get the offensive lineman we wanted, but this guy was a machine for the Orlando Apollos this year. Let's lock him down. Let's see what he can do.
Right, let's invite him.
And, you know, he gets, you know, 3 months off to recover from the season. He comes back. You know, he's still in shape. He's fresh from football.
Right.
He comes and he ends up being a starter for your team.
Right. It's not like he's had a full year out of football or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Which I think, you know, again, I think that's the biggest issue for some of these guys that get out of the league is there's really no way to, like, you know, get it's different than a lot of sports in the sense of it's hard to get game action again. So when you're out, you're kind of out.
Out.
Well, can I pick your brains for a second?
Yeah.
I want to offer up an idea that, you know, I think it won't happen until 5-10 years down the road. Granted, I hope the AAF is still around that long. But if you have enough teams that are like, I know they're already talking about adding 2 teams to each division next year.
Mm-hmm.
If you have enough teams and each NFL team can partner with an AAF team, is there a possibility of having, you know, like the practice squad or the reserves future contract guys that didn't play at all during the season to kind of get them into that team for the AAF season so that they can stay in shape and kind of shore up a little bit?
That would be interesting. I didn't think about that.
It's not so much a developmental league, but, like, you know, you have these practice squad guys who probably didn't play at all during the season, but you can use this opportunity as a partnership with that team to kind of hone in, and then I don't know what they get in return, maybe 2 or 3 guys guaranteed to the training camp.
Something like that. Yeah, that would be interesting. Or maybe you have, like, you have your practice squad guys and you have your associated team or whatever, and you say, hey, like, if they want any of these guys, they are allowed to use them. They just have to go back to the NFL team at the conclusion of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that would be good. Overall, I think the biggest success or failure factor for the AAF will be their expansion. Because, right, like we said last week, I think we talked about it a little bit, how they're all southern teams.
Yeah.
And they are in football-related cities, which is smart. However, you don't have – I mean, I feel like one of the biggest markets, obviously because there's a ton of people, but is the Northeast. And it is difficult to find a place to play in the Northeast because it is cold and raining and snowing a lot from February to April. But I think you really, in order for long-term success, I think they need to find at least one team in that area.
Yes.
So, Sam, you said that there was the possibility of an expansion this year. Do you know, have they released, like, where?
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to look it up because I know I saw on Twitter. I don't remember who posted it, but when I find it, I'll let you know.
Mm.
I will say that this website is not well built, though. That's
really?
My one qualm with it. Is like I'm clicking on like the stats and scores right now, and like the box score is like grainy. Like someone took like a screenshot and just slapped it on the top, and then the box score has like the different tabs that you could go through, but they're all different like screenshots and slapped on here, which is weird. And you also like they're really far away, so you have to like look really close to read them, which like again like if anything I'd have like a cool website, I'd have everything running smooth.
Yeah, I mean, it is the first season, so there's definitely bound to be some kinks.
Yeah.
But I feel like if their website is the biggest kink right now, that's not really a huge issue.
Because, yes. You know, people care, they're invested. The overall team stats page is kind of nice, though.
Do you think play in the AAF will constitute any changes in the NFL?
I hope so, and like it's been proven in the past that like the USFL and the XFL have helped kind of see some changes, and you know that might be that's the other thing for the league that might be good is you know how like the MLB will test rules out in minor league baseball, they can do that you know theoretically in the AAF saying hey we've been thinking about this like would you want to try it out like again, I more than anything I want to see that live referee reaction, just because I think that you know again that stuff's really good for. The league, because the best thing that the NBA did was have more transparency. When you have fans seeing what you're seeing, you're going to have less I mean, you're always going to have people that are upset with the call and
right.
go, you know, that official's stupid. They don't know what they're talking about.
Yes, those exact words.
yeah, for real, though. But you're going to have less people, which means that you're going to kind of stay away from controversy.
Right. The biggest hit I think the NFL took this weekend, I saw a video somebody – put together the hit from the fleet and the San Antonio Commanders. Is that what it is? That game. And then immediately after it said, this is what the NFL's like. And it was the roughing the passer call from the Patriots Chiefs game where he like the Chiefs defenseman like brushed Tom Brady's face mask and they called it roughing the passer.
Yep.
That I think I saw that and it like, I mean, it made me laugh really hard because it showed a very fair point, but I think it hurt the NFL because people are like, hey, they're playing actual football. They're not. And like, granted, see, it's tough because you have player safety, which some of these NFL rules have caused, like they've enacted because of player safety, which has reduced kind of the physicality of the game. But like physicality is what people want.
Yes.
More than scoring, I would say people want physicality, and like it's been proven in other sports going back years and years and years and years. Like there's less fighting in the NHL. What do people like about the NHL? Fighting, but because it destroys your brain, they're not doing it as much, which makes sense. And it makes everything that has happened makes sense. Like makes sense for the athletes. It's just not as much fun for the consumer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And that's where it's like the give and the take. It's
right.
Like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, it could go one of two ways. Mm-hmm. You know, does the NFL change back to more of what the AAF is, where they kind of have more leeway for these hits? Or do we see these hits having a greater effect, you know, in the long run?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the AAF eventually gets rid of them. Are you going to start seeing, you know, because it's been 1 week.
Right. Like,
you know, do we start seeing guys get really hurt? And because that's typically what, you know, spurs these rule changes. Mm-hmm. I think about, like, you know, Buster Posey when he, you know, got his leg all messed up when somebody slid into it at home, you know, collision at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now you can't run to the catcher at the plate, which makes me sad.
You also can't go out of the baseline to slide.
You also can't look at anybody funny. They'll call you out.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, again, it's the give and the take, and maybe, you know, the NFL and other leagues show that they are too reactionary to, you know, freak things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, again, if you go full season and you see hits like that the whole time and you're not seeing a lot of residual stuff, but then again, you know, if the AAF is, you know, your every team's down to their fourth quarterback because they're all out with concussions.
Yeah.
I you know, and that it's finding a middle ground. And
right.
Again, that's where an alternate league is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for rules, for, you know, play style. Because you know what? If I'm a coach trying to get into the NFL, that's the other thing. I mean, I know we got older coaches that are more notable, and they did that for the sake of getting people.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if I'm a, you know, a young head coach trying to get a shot, and I'm in the AAF, I'm trying new stuff. I'm trying interesting
right.
stuff. Because it's less pressure and you have more room to do those things.
Right, you have more room for error.
In a professional, you know, like environment. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's different than college because you are getting an overall better product than
right.
college still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what people don't realize is, you know, because again, the question that somebody brought up was like, you know, oh, could the Clemson Tigers go and beat the Orlando Apollos? Well, you know, I personally don't think so. I think
yeah.
despite some of the star power, I still think that, you know, again, you're taking some of the best star power. I mean, the star power isn't quite good enough for the NFL, but it's still, you know, again, the way they market it, and I think it's pretty accurate, is these are all backup caliber players,
mm-hmm.
which they're still good enough to make the NFL, but a lot of them are doing it in the sense of they're trying to be a starter again.
Right.
You know, because you tell me Trent Richardson couldn't get a backup role somewhere.
Right.
Like, he definitely could.
And, I mean, I think it's different. Like, they're grown men. Like, I know college players are grown men too, but I feel like it's just different.
It is.
Like, when you have, you know, a guy that's 30 that's been playing football forever and lines up against a 19-year-old kid, I mean, even if he's the worst guy in the NFL, I'm still gonna pick him.
Yeah,
because I feel like that experience and just kind of being able. That football knowledge buildup for playing for so long would help tremendously.
I agree.
Yes.
Oh, man.
can we do a bad transition into RMU sports?
For which one?
Yeah. Will's been itching to.
No, not itching. I just have had it up for the whole thing.
First thing he does when he comes in every morning, folks, is pull up NEC.
Right, because we do go to Robert Morris, so I am interested
Wait,
in
what?
The RMU sports.
I thought we went to Duquesne.
That would be unfortunate.
Go Dukes.
Yeah. hey, important women's basketball news. They clinched. They clinched an NEC tournament berth.
Yeah, because we were all really concerned
yeah.
whether they would make it or not. You know what's bigger news,
hmm.
in my opinion?
Hmm.
LIU Brooklyn
yes,
won
got
a
win.
Game.
They beat Wagner.
They
I
are
think.
Now 2-20.
Or no, not Wagner. Who
Mount
did
St.
Play?
Mary's.
They beat Mount St. Mary's.
They
wow.
beat Mount St. Mary's. Mount St. Mary's had a girl who put up 31 points, and they still lost to LIU Brooklyn. Wow. I mean, that's just embarrassing.
You know what the other funny thing is?
What?
Wagner is off to their best conference start ever, and they're 6-5.
Yeah, they were 11-0.
We're 11-0.
here's the thing, all right? Because it started off, they were down 16-11 in the first quarter. And
oh, boy.
Like, and, you know, We were doing Around the Rim before
mm-hmm.
the game, as we normally do on Mondays. And Mike Shuley said, oh, this might be a trap game. And I was like, that's fair. But the reason I didn't think it was a trap game was because
mm-hmm.
it was so tight the game before to Bryant
mm-hmm.
that they were going to come out and be like, we're not letting this happen again. They're at 16-11. And I'm like, oh, all right, here we go. You know, Central Connecticut, they were playing really smart. And you want to know why they were playing really smart? They were chewing up the shot clock. So what they were doing was they were really preventing Robert Morris from getting in any sort of rhythm.
Right.
Which prevented them from scoring. And CCSU, similar to Robert Morris, built on their defense. The
right.
difference is their offense isn't nearly as good.
Yeah, clearly.
So that's the thing, is their offense just went away. And
mm-hmm.
it didn't matter, because eventually Robert Morris was going to get some baskets.
Right.
And when you only score 40 points in a game, and, you know, give credit to Robert Morris, because their defense is, you know, 17th in the nation right now.
Oh, really?
But, yeah. But, you know, it just, I mean, what this was Robert Morris going, wow, that's great. Your team's built a lot like our team, where the offense is very, you know, okay, but you're built more defensively. But we do it about three times better than you
yeah.
do. That's exactly what this was. It's like, wow, great. You're really good defensively. We're so much better than you.
Yeah. I mean, they still won by 20.
Which is the average for them.
Yeah. Saturday was an off game where they only won by, what, three or yeah. five
well,
or something
Bryant,
like that?
Bryant only lost by three each time they played them this season. Mm. Which, you know why that makes me nervous?
Because we'd have to play them in the –
Well, yes, because Bryant right now is set up as a seven. Which means that they could potentially be
right.
that eight seed that plays Robert Morris in the first round. Which, I mean, that's. I
oh,
mean,
wait, not everybody gets in? I wanted to destroy LAU Brooklyn.
I'm sorry.
That would have
been
great.
Not everybody gets in, and that is the reason why not everybody
yeah.
gets in.
At Atlantic Hockey. What?
Yeah. Hey, man. Robert Morris. They were seventh seed last year and you know, made a run for it.
That's
hockey's,
true.
Men's hockey's not doing good this year. That's
no.
just. But.
Yeah, I mean, now, so they're past the halfway point. They have seven more games left.
They have seven more games left, two of which are against St. Francis, PA, which, by the way.
Really?
Five game win streak right now.
Yeah, they found their stride.
I thought we already played St. Francis, PA.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Huh.
Not yet. Monday.
Interesting.
Monday.
Oh, yeah, their last game is against
St. Francis
at home.
But it's during spring break, and we're probably going to be in Tampa, Florida.
We are, because it's the 7th.
Yes.
Jess Kovach is back on her stride. She's ranked 8th in the nation in
yep.
scoring.
Oh, boy.
And so, that you know, that's the interesting thing is, you know, we were talking about it the other day. We're like, what is Robert Morris's kryptonite? Is it, you know, a team that's really strong? Because here's the thing.
Teams outside of the NEC.
We decided that probably what their kryptonite is a team like Bryant, which has a little bit more depth than a lot of other teams, so they can kind of go toe-to-toe with Robert Morris. Robert Morris still has more depth overall,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, Bryant had a sixth man that scored 14 points off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, St. Francis doesn't have that, so the question is what's more of a difficulty for Robert Morris, a team that has some depth, or is it a team like St. Francis that can score a lot? Because, again, it seems like no matter how you spin it, Robert Morris is a team, no matter what defense you're playing, that they're going to score about, you know, 60 points. So, you know, St. Francis, PA, their defense is one of the worst in the entire nation right now. I mean, they let up about 80 points per game. You're almost looking at two polar opposite teams, which is why this game is so intriguing. You have a team
that's
really
right, yeah.
centered around – you know, one player,
and
very strong offensively, but weak defensively. And then you have another team that's very, you know, they have a lot of depth. You don't have a player that really scores more than 10 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're a powerhouse defensively. It's an intriguing matchup, especially because, you know, again, I mean, I really doubt Robert Morris will, you know, stray away from first place now that they're three games ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if St. Francis gets them two losses and then there's another loss somewhere in there to another team, you know, then you're going, wow, tiebreaker Robert Morris, you know, not ending the way they expected to. So that's where things get really intriguing, where, yeah, it's great they clinched, but there's still a lot of basketball left to be played against some really, really difficult teams in the
right.
conference.
I mean, it would be great if they win out, which is probably jinxing them by saying this, but that would be amazing to.
Dang it, Will.
I know. But speaking of straying from first place,
Men's basketball?
Are you going to finish your statement if they went out? Like you just
Oh no,
just
I said that I don't think
they'll win out.
It would
I
be very fun for us because it's the last time around.
And I will point out the last team to go
it
undefeated.
It was the St. Francis PA team, right?
Nope. That was back in 2004. 2013, Quinnipiac went undefeated.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they went 13-3, but they got a 13 seed in the NCAA. Or 30-3, sorry. They finished
overall?
Yeah, they finished 30-3 overall, 18-0 in conference. They earned a 13 seed in the NCAA tournament. So, you know, again, it begs the discussion. Because Robert Morris right now, they're set to play UConn. They're set to play UConn because UConn is number four.
Ooh.
So they are set to play the very worst of the one seeds, theoretically.
Theoretically.
So.
Well, remember when we went, I think it was our sophomore year. We went like.
And played Notre Dame?
No.
Yeah, it was our sophomore year. They played Notre Dame.
But we were like, Weren't we like
you like want to pull 20 up the record?
Yeah. Let's pull that up because I remember we had a really good record. We only had like one loss in the conference, and
that was last year. We had two.
But we didn't make the
tournament because we lost in the NEC.
What about the year
14-4? We were 22-11. So that's a little bit different.
What about the year before that?
The year before that, you're talking 2015, 2016, they were 20-13. So neither of those teams really had the, you know, again, 2017, 2018 was the best overall finish in program. They never had as many wins.
That was the record.
And that was our debate all year was, you know, again, if they got in, would they be a 15? But they did not.
They were projected to be a 15, probably I think over halfway through the season.
Yes.
But then they lost like two games.
Yes, they dropped to St. Francis, and then they dropped to St. Francis Brooklyn.
Yeah, I remember that, and that was a very disappointing time.
And that's why, you know, I still am very hesitant to be like, yeah. Oh, whoa,
I mean,
they'll go because
you
like,
can never be too confident in the NEC.
Yeah.
But oh well, I think if we went out and we win the conference and whatever, and we end up 24-8 or whatever it is, we will not be a number 15 seed, and I'll tell you why. Two big losses that our women's team had versus Kent State and versus Youngstown State.
Big losses. Why are they big losses?
Well, Kent State I think is a D.
No,
they're
D1. D1.
No, they aren't.
Yes, they are.
Really?
Yeah. Look,
James Harrison went to Kent State.
Well, yeah, just because James Harrison, like, different teams have different.
No, but they're D1. I think they're FBS in football too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're in the MAC.
Yeah, they're D1.
If anything, that's a fine loss.
Yeah.
They also lost to
Iowa.
Iowa, where they were down by 9 going into the fourth. Now, granted, they lost by 29, but they hung with the number 4. They're said to be a 3 seed right now, Iowa.
Through three quarters of the game.
They also, you know, hung around in the first half with James Madison, who has the second best defense in the NCAA.
Who's number one?
Yeah. Number one is Drexel.
Really?
Yes.
Let's go, Philly.
I know. Bad loss. The only really, really, really bad loss was Rhode Island, because Rhode Island is not a good team.
Mm-mm.
I will pull up Rhode Island's women's basketball record. Last year, they went 3-28. Let's see how they're doing this year. Because maybe... They're
making a run in the
A-10.
They're
shocking us
the women's
a little bit.
Are they in the A-10? Is the A-10?
Yeah, they're in the A-10, okay. And the answer is no. They are 7-16. They've lost 7 in a row. So that is a bad loss. That will stay as a bad loss.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's the only one.
But, yes. And I would say that a bad win was Delaware State, which they only won by 1. Because Delaware State is really also not that good.
I think, are they D2?
No.
No,
they are Division
D1.
1 as well. They are... Yes. They also have advertisements for Kent State University on their website.
Was our only non-D1 game against Pitt Johnstown?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
My apologies.
And that was kids, like, Students Day or something,
we're gonna
right?
Some well, hate. We're going to get some hate letters from...
I could have sworn...
Yeah, from all the players, all the people that listen from these schools.
Yeah.
Didn't we smack Kent State last year, though?
I don't remember.
We lost to Kent State. That was one of our, three conference losses.
Non-conference losses?
Yes.
Okay, well, I know we smacked Youngstown State.
Yes, but Youngstown State was not nearly as good as they were. They're way better this year than they were
okay.
last year. They're right. actually getting votes in the mid-major top 25.
I'm completely lost then, folks. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, fam. I didn't mean to like shut you down like that. But I mean, I wrote a whole thing on how they underperformed during non-conference, which they did. I mean, I think that, you know, again, their biggest problem was closing out games. They should have beat Youngstown. They should have beat Bowling Green. They should have beat Rhode Island. They should have gotten one of the wins between SMU and Loyola Marymount because they were in both those games and they lost it at the end. They should have crushed Delaware State. Besides that, I think they should have lost to James Madison. They should have lost to Kent. They should have lost to Iowa. And they should have had one of those. So, I mean, realistic to me, they have 4 more losses than I think they should, which is, you know, they're 14-8. You have to be pretty happy with that because also in conference play, you know, you could argue that both those Bryant games could be losses, especially the last one. You know, that was one where Bryant really came in and they took control of that game, especially in that first half. And then Robert Morris just came back and they did what they needed to do to come win that one. And Bryant did not.
Yeah.
So wait, Robert Morris doesn't have any votes in the mid-major.
No. And that's because the NEC isn't a great conference. Going 11-0 is, you know, a great feat. They have not dropped this week's mid-major top 25.
Hmm.
I think you will start seeing them getting votes.
Getting
votes,
yeah, not
because
in yet,
when you go 11-0 in conference play to start, I think you start garnering some attention.
Yeah,
I think noted attention. I've looked at teams in that mid-major top 25. They're very good teams, though. One team that's only getting one vote is Ryder, and Ryder has about the same record that Robert Morris does, but they play in a much better conference. Yeah. They play in the ECAC, and it's a quality conference.
St. Francis University on the voting panel, you think?
And Bryant on the voting panel, Mary Burke.
Oh, yeah, I missed that.
So, yeah.
Well, men's team isn't getting any love either.
They were.
But were they?
But they were.
They've lost three of the last four.
Yeah, that they were getting votes, which I'm actually surprised nobody mentioned that in athletics, because that's actually, I mean, for us, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, because they, I mean.
Yeah.
It's tough because, like, I feel like they had the exact same thing happen last year where they had a great first half of the season and they were leading first and they were what, 7-1?
Yes.
I think. And then finished in third, in the three seed, something like that. I don't remember. But they lost a bunch of games down the stretch.
It's all right.
I just
got
like,
Flyers playing.
Thanks. They have two more home games, four road games. I mean, my confidence is wavering after these past few games.
I think they'll be fine. In my opinion, I think they'll be fine. There's a lot of parity at EC.
There is the
standings didn't tell you how close they are.
No.
I think the playoffs will be fun. I think they're gonna because you know what you could that's where you see an 8 seed upset a one.
Will we be a 1 seed?
No, we'll be a 3 seed in my opinion.
Think so.
I think we'll be a 3. I think Robert Morris will get a home game, but I don't think that. But that's fine. You know what? Nobody's gonna be gunning for you that way. You're gonna be kind of subtle, and Robert Morris can make a run that way.
Is men's NEC playoffs the same setup as women's, where it's the top 8, or
yes, top 8, okay. But it's not the pod system like women's is.
Right. It's different.
Yeah.
But at this point, if the season ended today, RMU would be a 2 seed.
Yes.
And the two teams that would not make the playoffs are Bryant and Mount St. Mary's.
Didn't they win last year, Mount St. Mary's?
No, FDU won everything. They might have been the 1 seed last year, but they also had their coach leave and their best player, who is the shortest player in NCAA basketball, graduate.
Go Steelers, graduate, that's all I have to say. Playoffs?
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Yeah, Will.
That's true. With other sports.
All right, on that note, we have to end early. Yes. I have a job interview.
I'm hungry.
And Will's hungry. Will, you want to go to the gym after I do my interview real quick?
I'm fine with
15,
that.
20
yeah.
minutes. All right, cool. Me and Will are going to go get our pump on. Thank you so much for tuning in to Will, Sam, and Sam in the morning. I'm Sam Anthony. Alongside me, Sam Elizabeth Ferentz.
Bye, folks. Love you, Mom. Go Clones.
And Billy Bob Camilleri.
Hello. Goodbye.
4-1 Penguins.
Oh.